So, once again, thank you to Robert Weisskopf for arranging this. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming. People who came today, I think today's really the schmuck, because I think you already know that we're not going to be eating too many grasshoppers. but there's a lot to learn from this sukkah, actually. Firstly, just by way of introduction, on the first page over here, you know, Chaim Kanievsky, as we know, wrote this kuntros specifically about Chagovin, about the subject of grasshoppers, locusts. And he writes at the beginning that the Rambam in the beginning of Machlokes Asurah says there's a mitzvah to say leita hasemonim shemavdilim behem. There's a mitzvah to say to know the simonim of kosher and non-kosher animals. And Chaim Kanievsky says that therefore it's specifically, it's for sure kedai to learn this. And it could be, again, it's not so clear exactly how to understand the Rambam, but it could be that there's a special mitzvah to know this, to have some knowledge about which grasshoppers are kosher, which ones are not. So even if we're not going to eat them, but it could be there's a mitzvah to know. And he says, even though that's not entirely clear in the Rambam, the Cholopachos, again, it's Talmud Torah. So the Mishnah says like this. The Mishnah tells us about grasshoppers. The Mishnah says, "V'chagovim, when it comes to chagovim, kol sheyesh lo arba regolim, that it has to have 4 feet, v'arba knofim, knofayim, and 4 wings, v'katsulim, and it's got to have katsulim. Katsulim are the long feet which bend in the middle, which the animal uses to jump with. V'chnofo kol chofin es ruvoi." And it has to be that the wings cover the majority of it. And Rav Yossi Yomo Shmuel Chagov, Rav Yossi says that that it has to be something which is called a Chagov. In other words, there are things which are, not every Chagov is kosher. There are kosher Chagovin and they're not kosher Chagovin. But it has to be called a Chagov. You know, it's like that joke about like, to be a chazan, you know, like the, all the qualifications. But the first thing is you got to be able to sing, you know, like you got to, like it's got to be Shmo Chagov, it's got to be called a Chagov, you know, that, and then it's got to have these other qualifications. So one of them, again, just to reiterate, it's got to be Shmo Chagov, it's got to be, it has 4 feet, 4 wings, the wings cover the majority, and it has to have these long legs which it jumps with. Which Rashi adds, this is going to be significant, Rashi says over here in the Mishnah, Rashi says that the katsulim hem shnei raglaim aruchim, 2 long legs, levad ha'arba, apart from the 4, vehem somuch letzavoro, and they're close to the animal's neck. So over here, this is the actual place where actually a picture is even helpful. On the title page over here, there's a picture over here. As you can see, in standard chagovim, the legs are back. They're behind the front legs. They're behind the back legs, even in this picture. I mean, they're behind. They're not next to the neck. But having said that, the maisa, even though most chagovim don't really look like that, but Rashi says that this is one of the criteria, that these katsulim, these long legs, the jumping legs, are out by the neck. Okay, so that's what the Gemara says.
He's
so,
he's a sheretz, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Catch the light.
What?
Catch the light.
Okay.
I'm not sure it's a
sheretz. Right? Okay, it's a sheretz. Okay. So.
But it has to be the name Chagov in what language?
That's a very good question. That's part of the problem with the whole sugya. If Pashtus is, it means that you live in Bovel, then it's called a Chagov, you know, if you. It's hard to know what happens in America.
Even when they ate chagovim, if it was not in a place where they didn't call it a chagov,
it's hard to know what did they do, right? It's hard to know. So this is part of the problem with the whole sugya. This is one of the main problems with the whole sugya. Is this shmo chagov qualification, right? Which again, there's a whole long sugya over here. There's a daf about the qualifications. But yes, this is one of the major concerns, as we'll see, is that we don't really know what's called Shmo Chagov if you don't live in Bovel, you know. So but as you said, it's not really an animal, it's a sheretz. The Rashi brings in the Gemara then Daf Samach Vav, Rashi brings from the Bahag that the Bahag says that it's Xeris Akosov that Chagogavim do not need Shechita. You don't need to shep them if you're even in places where they eat locusts. They don't take a knife and cut their head off. It doesn't work like that. They don't need shechita. Rashi brings from the Bahag that it's a xeris akosiv, that the posuk in Shmini puts chatovim next to dogim. And fish, we know the pasuk elsewhere says that dogim just need asifa, they just need to be taken out of the water, they don't need to be shattered. And since there's a smichus of chatovim to dogim, so therefore chatovim don't need shechita either. That's what the Bahag says. So Tosa says that it doesn't need shechita, but Tosa says you can't eat them when they're alive either. They have to be dead. They don't need shechita, but they have to be dead. Tosa says that even though something which doesn't need shechita, there really shouldn't be any problem of eivim menachai. So why can't you eat with them when they're alive? Tosa says, because it references the Gemara in Shabbos, which says that there's a problem of bal tishatzu. So therefore, when they're alive, technically, there's no eivim menachai. This is what Tosa says. There's no eivim menachai, but you can't eat them when they're alive because it's bal tishatzu, it's disgusting. And when they're dead, then even if they're without shechita, you can eat them. And again, the Bahag says it's a xeris akasav. Sorry? Okay, that's another subject.
In the 1960s, there was a big thing by college students to swallow a live goldfish.
Right. So again, there was that. I think that's also about to shout soon, you know. okay, so on page 4 over here, so the Rambam also says that chagovim do not need shechita, but he doesn't bring the same makara as the Bahag. He brings a different makara. The Rambam says that again, by fish, the pasuk says the lashon of asifa, and the Rambam brings a pasuk in Yeshaya. Then in Yeshaya it says by hagavim also lashon of asifa. So therefore, the Rambam says that it's also you see that there's asifa used by hagavim as well, so it doesn't need shechita, which is interesting that he brings a pasuk right from a pasuk which isn't in the Torah. But the Maaseh, that's what he says, and then he says the Rambam says a mutal achon chayim. And you can eat them when they're alive. They don't need shechita, and they don't even need to be dead. You can eat them when they're alive. So already right there, the Hagaras Maimonius says, not really, because it's bal tishatzu. So it just means there's no even menachai. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky is bothered that seems like a dohak in the Rambam. The Rambam says, mutar le'achlon chayim. You're allowed to eat them when they're alive. That's it. That's all he says. And the Hagaras Maimonides says, not really, you can't. Actually, you can't eat them. There's no eivim menachai, but there's bal tishatzu. So the Rambam should have said that. It's a little bit hard to understand. The Rambam just says, mutar le'achlon chayim. It sounds like it's really mutar. So how do we understand that Rambam? The Gemara and Shabbos says there's bal tishatzu. So in order to answer that question, we just have to familiarize ourselves with that Gemara. The Mishnah in Shabbos says that there's an issur of hetzar, you can't carry on Shabbos. If you carry out chagovim, the shear to be chayiv, there's by chagav tomei, Rabbi Huda says that if a person takes out a chagav chai tomei, even one chagav, then that's a shear, because children use it as a toy. They play with children play with grasshoppers. And we got more sophisticated, I don't know, but I don't think for the Afikoman present Chagav will do it. But this is what Yehuda says, that they play with a Chagav Chai, Tomei, and the Bar Tanura brings that the Tanakhama disagrees. Tanakhama says, no, we wouldn't allow our children to play with a Chagav Chai, Tomei, because maybe it'll die, and now it's Chai, but maybe it'll die, and it's Tomei, and the child might come to eat it. So we wouldn't want that, so therefore we wouldn't let that. But either way, the whole discussion again is that the child might eat it after it dies. That's debatable. Whether do we have to be concerned that this chag of chai, which the child's using as a toy, after it dies, may be eatable. When it's alive, he's not going to eat it. The Gemara says on page 6, the Gemara says that it's bal tishatzu. The Gemara says that Rav Kahana was standing in front of Rav, and he was holding a shoshiva, which is a kind of chagov, and was by his mouth. And Rav told him, you can't, you know, be careful of bal tishatzu. So you see, the Gemara says that there's bal tishatzu. It says the Gemara Beferish, the Gemara says there's bal tishatzu on eating a living chagov. Only a dead chagov is mutar, and only a dead chagov which is kosher is mutar.
How could you eat it called a shoshiva, not a chagav?
That's one of the subspecies of.
So chagav just means
this is part we don't really know what chagav means, right? That's a problem. So Tosus that we'll come back to this thing that we don't really know what Chagov is. Tosus brings it to Sefta, Tosfos brings a Tosefta which says Ochel Otom Chagofim Bein Chayim Bein Shchutim. The Tosefta says you could eat Chagofim which are living. So it's a stira. Our Gemara says it's Bal Tashatsu. There it says, the Tosefta says it's allowed. How could it be? So Tosefta says Miyashiv. Tosefta says to eat a whole living Chagof is Bal Tashatsu. You take a living locust and stick it in your mouth and swallow it, that's Bal Tashatsu. If you cut off a piece, again, there's no even menachai. You can cut off a piece, you can wash it, cook it, whatever. There's no, then even though it came from a living animal, that's what's mutter. So this is what Tosfos says. So Chaim Kanievsky says that this is that the Rambam has a different shot. The Rambam is bothered by this kasha that the Gemara and the Tosefta are a stira. The Tosefta says you're allowed to eat a living chagov. The Gemara says you can't, that Rav Kahana wanted to eat a shoshiva, and Rav told him you can't, it's Bal Tashatsu. So the Chayr, it's a stira. So those are to say the statements, which is, you know, this seems like a, you know, like a, not the Pasha Pshat in the Tosefta. Then the Tosefta says, the Tosefta says you're allowed to eat a chagav, which is living, it means not the whole thing, it means you can cut off a piece. But the Rambam doesn't like that. Chaim Kanievsky says that the Rambam understands like this. The Rambam understands there's no Bal Tashatsu. You can eat chagofim when they're alive. And that's what the Tosefta says, that it's mutter to eat chagofim when they're alive. And that's where the Rambam says in the Sefer, you're allowed to eat them when they're chayim. It just happens to be that there's one chagof called a sheshiva, or some subset of chagofim called sheshiva. Those ones, they're particularly dirty and disgusting. And therefore, it's not that be'etzem eating chagofim, living chagofim is bal tashatsu. Be'etzem eating living chagofim is fine. It's just that there's something specific about this one that is disgusting, and that the Rambam tells us. Because the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Machalos Asurah says, "Kol oichlem hamu'usim nes bal tashatsu." So therefore the Rambam does bring this halacha. He does bring this halacha. He really, again, stam chagovim amuta, and that to eat him when they're alive. And that's where the Rambam says it. There happens to be some which are most, but that's true by all foods. All food which is most is bal tashatsu. That the Rambam many told us in the general cloud. So therefore, this is Chaim Kanievsky's Yeshua for the Rambam. So therefore, there seems to be this machlokus, at least.
According to Tosfos, who says that you have to cut it if you're not over in Menachah, you can cut off a piece. Does he mean after with a socket to cut it, or if you bite half of it off? There's any difference between swallowing it whole
I think
or biting in half. You're also difference cutting off a piece or biting half of it off.
I think it sounds, it's not so clear, but it sounds from Tosfos. Tosfos says that you cut it off, the Baltish, part of the Baltish, Tosfos says, the Lashon is, you cut it off and you wash it. That for Ochel Walite Yechitza, it seems that Tosfos understands that part of the Baltishatsu is not only that it's alive, but that it's dirty and like you have to wash it, so I guess you have to cut it off to wash it, you know. There's another, there's a rife in this Tosfos, there's also, you know, there's another discussion, Macholkes Achronim, if there's an Issa of Tzav Anachayim by Chagovit, so you can, you know, there's discussion about this Tosfos. Tosfos seems to say it's like you're fine cutting up living chagovim. That's another, you know, another discussion.
So if anything that doesn't need shechita doesn't have the issur of eivim menachayim.
Right.
So if you have a ben pikua, you could do eivim menachayim.
Well, it's not right. Halach lemaisa, no, but there's no eivim menachayim.
Yeah.
Right. There's no eivim menachayim.
It says you can cut it
if
you're eating. If you're going to eat it, if you're not eating it, then you just do.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe there's no tzad barachayim if it's the tzorela. So, okay, good point. That's a good point. So that's true. Okay, page eight. I mean, yeah, you're right, but you could kill it and just, you know. Okay. But page eight, so as people have already pointed out, one of the simonim is Shmuel Chagov. It's all very good if you live in Bavel, then it's easy to figure out the Shmuel Chagov. But we don't live in Bavel. So Rashi already says this on page 8 on the Pasuk there, in the Pasuk of in Shmini, Rashi brings the Simonim. And then Rambam, where the Rashi says at the end of the Rashi, V'tzorech she'eh shmo chagov, u'bazeh ein on yoidim lehavdil beinehem. That one of the criteria is shmo chagov. Again, the Gemara has a sugya there, which maybe not all of them need this, but at least some of them you need your shmo chagov. And we don't know. So one of the criteria is Shmuel Chagov, we don't know. So therefore Rashi basically says, you can't eat Chagovim because we don't know which one's Shmuel Chagov, unless you Right. So you can't eat any chagov again. Now, the only way you'd be able to eat chagovim is you have some kind of masoira. If you have a tradition that a chag was eaten, that this is a chagov, and if you have a masoira from your zaydi that this is a chagov and it's a kosher chagov, okay, then you know shmo chagov because you have a kabbalah. But other than that, how are you ever going to know? You can't decide this on your own. And you know, in our language, we don't have that anymore. So Rashi says, therefore, you can't eat them.
Why are you insisting on chagov? The Torah has three other types: Solom,
okay, there are all subsets of the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says the Shmoy Chagov. Okay, there's a daf in the Gemara. There's a long daf which goes through this. I understand. So if Ayin Chulin daf, whatever it is, right. Again, this is a long sugi in the Gemara. No, we're not trying to go through the whole sugi. But this is what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says the Shmoy Chagov. However you understand it, whatever the limitations are, that's which the sugi discusses there. But that's the criteria. That is the criteria the Mishnah says, and Rashi says that criteria, whatever it is, whatever the details are, but we're not begiving it. So therefore you can't eat them. So on page 9 over here, again from the Shulchan Aruch brings the simanim of the Chagovim. The Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Beis, Chagovim don't need Shechita. The Shach says they don't need Shechita, but you can't eat them alive because of Bal Teshatzu. So, you know, the Shach understands, like, Paskins like Tosfos and Agos Maimonius, you can't eat them when you're alive. They have to be dead, but they don't need Shechita. And then the Taz says, V'arshav nogin shlo lechol shum chagov. We don't eat any chagovim. Afidu biyodua sheshmo chagov. Even if you know that the name is chagov, lefi she'inu nebekiyin b'shmoseyin. Because we don't really know. You think you know that the name is chagov? How do you know that the name is chagov? We don't know. So therefore, the Taz says, this is based on Rashi, that we don't know, and we don't know what's called Shmo Chagov. We don't understand that. We can't define that, so we don't speak that language, and therefore you can't eat Chagovim. So this is what the Taz says.
So is he suggesting that when the Chagov wrote that you could eat it, if you know it's Shmo Chagov, but at that time they were eating it? Or is he saying even at the time to...
Right. So the Shulchan Aruch in the Beis Yosef, he quotes this Rashi, but he does not bring it la'alocha. Right? It sounds like the Shulchan Aruch sounds like he does not ask him this way. And in fact, it seems like there were places even later afterwards, which not every again the Ramah Ashkenazim are meshubah to the Ramah, the Taz, whatever. I'm saying the Taz. We're going to follow the Taz. Not the whole world. On page 10 over here, the Darkei Tshuva brings from a Tshuvas Yochin of Boaz that the Yochin of Boaz declares that there was a Chagov that they had a Masorah to eat, but they didn't know it was Shmo Chagov, but that they didn't know, but they had a Masorah to eat it. And he brings he quotes from the Ratz Vash, whoever that is, that he says there in that Tshuva there that it's Mutter, that you can eat it. Because you need Shmo Chagov if you don't know that you can eat it. But if you have a Masorah that we eat it. So therefore, it's good enough. And evidently, they were eating it in wherever this the Yochanan of Boaz lived. The Yochanan of Boaz is like the grandson of the Tashbetz. So the Yochanan of Boaz says that you can that in his place they ate Chagovim and it was fine and they had a Masorah and that's good enough. Then he brings that the Chidah disagrees. The Chidah says it's not enough to have a Masorah that you eat it. You got to have a Masorah that you eat it and that it's Shmo Chagov. So that's a debate over here, how much of a Masorah. But there were places which ate it, even after the Shulchan Aruch. Right? even after the Shulchan Aruch's time, there were places which were still eating it, Chagovim. So this brings us to, on page 11 over here, the Pre-Toa. The Pre-Toa is written by the Orachayim HaKadosh. So this is a very interesting Pre-Toa. That he says that in his place, the Orach Chaim HaKadosh lives, I think, in Morocco. That the Orach Chaim HaKadosh says in his place, there were people that they ate locusts, but people ate them. So you see again, the Orach Chaim HaKadosh is after the Shulchan Aruch. They ate locusts, but he saw his grandfather didn't eat them, and his grandfather was not happy that people ate them, but he didn't want to usher them either because people were eating them. So, but his grandfather didn't want to answer them. And then he says that when he got older, he looked into the sukkah himself, and he said, my grandfather's right. Because one of the criteria is that Rashi says, is that the katsulim are by the neck. And an achagobim, they're at the back. They're not at the front by the neck. So therefore, you know, forget even apart from the fact that Shmuel Chag, he has a different problem. He has a different problem with the Katsulim are in the wrong place.
Katsulim are what?
The long legs which the animal jumps with. Okay. So then the Orchaim Kodesh says, some people say it doesn't even exist. They're always at the back. There's no such thing as them being at the front. And he says, no, it's not true. There is one where it's at the front, but the ones where people are eating, it's at the back, and that's no good. So that's one problem he has. And then he says, and you need a Kabbalah that Shmo Chagav, and we don't have that. Evidently, he's like being... The fact that they have a Masorah that they eat it is not good enough for him. He again wants it to be that part of their Masorah is Shmo Chagav. They don't have that. So that's the second problem he has. And then he has a third problem. He says an interesting thing. He says that the Chagavim they were eating, he describes over here that they went through a metamorphosis. That they started off not as Chagavim, and then they got into a cocoon, and then they came out as a completely different creature. He says, you can see the Neflos Hashem, that they can do this. And he says, when the little animals, before they, no one eats those worms, caterpillars, whatever, everyone's going to agree that the caterpillars are treif. So how can it be that the caterpillars are treif, and then this metamorphosizes into a kosher animal? How could that be? There's no such thing. If it was kosher when it was born, it stays treif. So that's his other problem. So therefore he says, the Beit Chodesh says that he's not happy. He has a lot of problems with the fact that people are eating Chagavim in his place. Again, the Katsulim are, the legs are in the wrong place. The Das Nashmo Chagav. When it's born, it's not. When it comes from a caterpillar, which is not kosher, these are all his problems. And therefore, he says at the end of the piece, he says, therefore, I paskin from my city that they can't eat them. So the last couple of lines of the pre-Torah, he says something very interesting. He says, I told my city they can't eat them, and I asked them, and one person didn't listen to me. And he ate them, and then he had a dream that he ate shkosim and remosim, and they told him in his dream that it's because he didn't listen, and he ate these chagovim. So therefore, the dream vindicated me. That's what he writes at the end. That this person who didn't listen had a dream that he ate shkosim and remosim, and then he says, "Vegodla neisa achron," and more than that, there was a bigger neis shos Hashem. Shetamid dava rogil hayal avoy minzel lebeisol gimel shom velo acher tfrei midalat. Up to now, this plague of locusts came every 2, 3, 4 years. And the plague of locusts, we know from its rhyme, is extremely destructive. And this was a terrible thing, that it came every 2, 3, 4 years. And when I just said that, it's also v'chach mayir, hitu osnom v'osrum, and they listened to me. They didn't come back for the last 20 years. And all our crops were saved. So this is the nace that he says that because that's a so that's an interesting Maisa Shaya that he asked these chagovim and he says this nace happened. He references it in his Pirush HaRachayim Mekodesh. He references it just very briefly. He says he also mentions that this nace happened. okay, so you can so therefore the Maisa, you know, even in the Sfardi papers they don't eat chagovim. Yeah, you know, the Orchaim Hakodesh asked Chagovim for them too. So Ashkenazim don't eat it. The Taz asked it. Sfarim don't eat it. The Orchaim Hakodesh asked it. The only people that I'm aware of that still have say that they have some kind of Masorah are the Taimonim. The Taimonim they have a Masorah that they eat Chagovim. So which brings us to the last question, which is, okay, we don't eat them. The Taimonim do have a Masorah. Can one person rely on the Masorah of a different person or a different city? Now, I live in a place where we don't eat them. And there's somebody else in a different city, he has a Masorah about some Chagovim. Can I eat his Chagovim? So this is a very basic question, which even though I'm clearing it by Chagovim, it's the same question by birds, which you need a Masorah. We don't shep this bird, but in that city, in the middle of Africa, they do whatever, and there's a Yidden there, a shep, is that good enough for me? Can we rely on somebody else's Masorah? So this is another whole sugya. On page 14, the Shulchan Aruch says like this. The Shulchan Aruch says, by birds, he says, in Shal Mekoyim Shein Lehem Masorahs, Yechurim Lechol Al Smach Mokim Sheish Lehem Masorahs, if you have a place which does not have a Masorah about birds, and they want to eat birds based on the fact that they shot them in a different place where there is a Masorah, Yesh Misha Oysa V'Yesh Misha Matir, it's Machlokas V'Shonim, V'Yesh Lachushta Tivya Oysa. And the Shulchan Aruch says that you should be Machlokas.
Don't we have a din that nice and light,
Yeah. That's if you're traveling. I'm not talking about a person who's traveling. I'm not talking about that. I'm here. The Yemenite is in Yemen. Okay? Now, I want to eat the Chagovim here because he eats them there. Right? We're not talking about...
I'm not sitting there.
That doesn't mean I could eat them if I went there either. That's another sugya, but I'm not talking about that. Right? Again, Chumi Mochim that I came from too. So, unless I'm moving there and staying there in Yemen, But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about I want to eat them here in America based on their service.
But how can you eat it in America if everyone in America is not eating it?
So everyone in America should be able to eat it. This is the question. Maybe everyone should be able to eat it based on their Mesiris. So the answer is the Shulchan Aruch says no. The Shulchan Aruch says you can't do that. The Shulchan Aruch says that on the other hand, the Shulchan Aruch says no. On the other hand, the Shach is more makel. The Shach says that no, if we live in a place where we dafka don't eat them, so then I can't rely on their Masorah. But if the only reason I don't eat them is because I don't know anything about them, it's not that like I have a Masorah, they're Osa. I just don't know. I don't know if they're Osa, they're Mutzah. We don't eat them, it's Sofik. But it's not because we have a Shitta, all they're Osa. So I don't know. This person says it's Vadai Mutzah, Barav Hashemi Barav Adiv. Then the Shach says you can rely on his Masorah. So the Shach is more Makel than the Shulchan Aruch. And the Shach is ready to be Makel that you could rely on their Masorah, if the reason that you don't eat it is because you don't have any Masorah. So that's why there is such a thing. There are some people who do this. They've had this in the past, that they've had places where they serve grasshoppers based on the fact that the Yemenites have a Masorah, and it's not like we Beshitta don't, we just don't know, and if we can, according to the Shach, we can rely on them as Masorah. There are places which have had meals like this. But again, just to point out the problems, number one, maybe the Shach's maker, but the Shulchan Aruch is not. The Shulchan Aruch says it's Asa, so it's hard to do something which the Shulchan Aruch says it's Asa. That's not usually a very good idea. And number two, the Katsulim are not by the neck. And again, according to Rashi, the Pre-Torah, which the Pre-Torah Paskins like, you gotta have the Katsulim by the neck, which they don't have. So they don't hold that way, okay? They ever do that. They don't hold that's necessary. But we, Rashi says it is, and we Paskin, generally Paskin like Rashi. Right. And number three, they may have a Masorah that it's kosher, but they don't necessarily have a Masorah that's Shmo Chagov, which again is debatable, that the Yochanan Bo says it's good enough if you have a Masorah you can eat it. But the Chidah says no. The Chidah says you not only do you have to have a Masorah that you can eat it, you also have to have a Masorah that's Shmo Chagov, which in Din Yemen they don't necessarily have that either. They just have a Masorah they can eat it. So,
so the... How many different species of Yemenites?
I don't know the details.
Because there's a problem with the Kasalayim, that could be only one min. There may be other min.
They know in America that our grasshopper is the same.
No, you have to get theirs. You have to get their grasshoppers.
Yeah,
you import them for the meal. You can't just go in your backyard garden. Yeah. You gotta import. They've done this. They've imported this Hagovim from that they eat, and then But again, I'm saying even if you're gonna go to the Tikh of doing that, But I'm saying even if you're gonna go to the Tikh, and there is a svara to say it's muta. I'm just pointing out that there's a shtak svara to say that it's not so muta. That again, the Shulchan Aruch says it's us. They don't really have the Katsulim are not in the right place. They don't really have a Masorah the Shulchan. And anyway, the Ma'aseh, the last thing the Aruch HaShulchan says on page 16.
That they ate it. Isn't that implying that what?
Well, the Chidah says that there are places. I mean, there is a machlokas between the Yochanan Boaz and the Chidah about this. So evidently, we don't just say that. The Chidah says that there are places which have a Masorah that they eat it, and they don't have a Masorah that Shmo Chagov, and that's not good enough. They're deducing that it must be that our ancestors held that Shmo Chagov based on the fact we eat it, but we don't really know Be'etzem that it's Shmo Chagov, right? That's what. So okay. Just the last quote on page Lamaisa, page 16. There's the last quote the Aruch HaShulchan says. Achshav on a nogin shlo lechol shum Chagov, afilu b'chol asimonim, afilu yotur she Shmo Chagov. We don't eat these things. And we've never heard of any, it'll be hundreds of years already, we've never heard of anyone eating Chagovim. So the Aruch HaShulchan seems to really say that, it's already pretty much established. Yeah, he's never heard about them. So, I guess in Nevada or whatever he lives, I guess they didn't have so many tamonim. But he says there's no such thing. So Anamaisa already, the Ochashov and Sarah really says that we don't eat. Anyway, whether or not you're going to eat Chagovim, I hope that everyone enjoys the Yom Tov meal.
Sorry. It's interesting that people who climate change is their religion. So they're very much in making the ground up crickets in the course of hunting.
Right.
They're claiming that it's kosher.
Right. It's hosting.